What a year we've had, right? If you reflect upon this past year, we can begin to see a similarity to Babel with fear, ambition, faithless arrogance, leaving the world in chaos and in fear and disunity. It's all around us. You read the newspaper, you see what's going on. As a result of the pandemic, fear has taken hold of all societies. Travel's been shut down across the planet. People are isolated from one another. I mean, this is the first time we're gathering back again as a community, according to the bishop's expectations. In the United States, political division and strife rule our society. Public schools, there's no continuity in public education across the nation. They're in disarray. Jobs and companies are in chaos. There's a lot of unemployment in some places and a lot of employment in others. Congress is so divided that it has become dysfunctional. This is the modern Babel. Welcome to the modern Babel. Pentecost is often contrasted with the Old Testament reading from Genesis regarding the Tower of Babel. The contrast could not be greater. The people in the Genesis story ambitiously initiated a project of building a city with a high tower to make a name for themselves and to rule over other people. The project, as we heard here in Scripture and as God intended us to hear in Genesis, the project ended in disarray when the people could no longer understand one another. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in enabling people of every dialect and language to understand the apostles and their teaching, drawing people together from all over the world. The sin of the people of Babel is subtle. After the flood, God commanded Noah to be fertile and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over all creatures. He said the same thing to Adam and Eve. And like Adam and Eve, the people at Babel also rebelled and became arrogant and disobedient, and they chose to follow their own ambitions. They lacked the Holy Spirit. They lacked faith. Human arrogance and disobedience brought about separation from God, separation from one another, leading to original sin. That's our teaching, that's our theology. But God desires unity among us. We hear Jesus praying for that unity at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, erasing original sin in our baptism. In the Holy Spirit, the unity that God desires of all people is restored. That was the plan of salvation history. We often miss the point of Pentecost and even the sacrament of confirmation. So often, after the sacrament of confirmation, people frequently act as if school's out, church is over, and they disperse and do not come back. It's very, very common. They don't really accept the Holy Spirit. They don't really understand the Holy Spirit, and they're not going to make an effort to accept the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is invisible to the world's eyes, but the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, are all around us. All you have to do is look. You can't miss it if you look for it. Let me just begin with the history of the Mass. The Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The young apostolic church that began after his resurrection emerged eventually from 2 or 3 centuries of persecution. There were no churches as we know them for 2 to 3 centuries after the resurrection. It was a church under persecution, but the church was spreading fast all over the world in spite of that. And today, Mass is being said daily in almost every country on planet Earth. The body of Christ is in tabernacles like this in almost every city and town on the planet. It wasn't there before the resurrection. And Jesus told us the kingdom of God is at hand, he said, when he came. And he said, I will always be with you. And in the church, Jesus is present in all 7 sacraments. The sacraments are Jesus. Jesus is the sacraments. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are everywhere. St. Paul taught, brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. We're blessed in our parish to have a lot of confessions every week. And with 3 priests available for the last few years for confessions, we generally stay pretty busy offering about 15 man hours of confessions every single week. That's a lot of confessions. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, people come. It's the most amazing thing. You offer the sacrament, the people come. No one forces them. There's no policeman dragging them into the church and throwing them into the confessional. They come of their own free will. Why do they come? We hear jokes about Catholics and confession and being brainwashed, but that's in popular culture. We have to remember the world hates the Spirit, and the Spirit hates the world. However, we have hundreds of confessions here each week. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. This has astounded me over the years as I've observed this. When somebody comes into my confessional, I even find myself saying in amazement, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank God they came. This level of sacramental life in our parish can only be through the Holy Spirit. There is no other explanation. Weddings, baptisms, I had a wedding this afternoon, it was beautiful. First communions, we're in the season of first communions, first confessions, confirmations, and we have them because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can turn your back on the Spirit. You can choose not to do it. I know priests who don't like confessions, and 4:30 to 4:45 or by appointment. Well, the priest doesn't want to do confessions. That's what happens. But the Holy Spirit is working in the people. And if you offer it, they'll come. That's the purpose of a parish. We have these sacraments because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In another place, St. Paul tells us, now the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. Paul was pretty thorough, wasn't he? I warn you, Paul says, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty strong teaching. And then Paul shows us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is what I've been talking about. You can see it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It bubbles up in a community in acts of charity. And you can see the things going on in around you. That's the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. It's a decision. And in the Spirit, we choose love. And the Spirit strengthens our decision, our choices. We live in the Spirit when we live the sacramental life of the church. We must choose this. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. It's not something that feels good. It's not something you do because you get some pleasure from it. We do it out of obedience because we love God. We must choose this. And if we do, the Holy Spirit will guide us through life. There's a spiritual wisdom that I see coming to people when they go to frequent confession. It's a beautiful thing to watch over time. They come to know themselves, and the Holy Spirit makes them wiser about life. And it's real. We must choose this, and the Holy Spirit will guide us. And so this weekend we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.